Well, good morning to each of you. As Jerry alluded to in his prayer, I'm back again in the book of James, chapter 1, still in chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. And I have entitled the message this morning out of these three verses, just simply, "Listen Up." So, listen up. When I first started looking at these three verses, to me they kind of come out of nowhere. They didn't belong with what's happening in the book of James. I mean, seriously, they looked out of place with the rest of the teaching in this chapter. And I struggled and I struggled and I struggled and wrestled with this thing to put these three verses into the context of what's happening in the book of James. So turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1. Three verses, 19 to 21. And thinking about the verses before this, and maybe you can tell me after I read these verses where these things fit in. Because I didn't have a clue when I started. Hopefully, as we go through this, I got a little bit better understanding. Would you stand with me to read the Word of God? James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Says, "My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you." God in heaven, thank you so much for the promise that you'll be with us and that you'll give us understanding. God, as we look into your word this morning, would you open it to us this morning? Would you open our minds to what you want us to understand out of this? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Do you see my dilemma? In the first half of this chapter, James is talking about enduring trials and enduring temptations and how we're working through that. And the message last time that I looked at are the verses 14 through 18. He's talking about, you know, how we're tempted when we shouldn't say we're tempted of God, but it's our own fault when we're pulled away from God and tempted, and then we fall into sin and we have death and that whole thing. And out of the blue, he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's like, where'd that come from? And after these verses, then it talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And I had a problem with that. They seemed out of place. And the easy thing to do at this point for me would have been, I could have got through this whole thing a whole lot quicker if I'd have done like most people I read. They go off on a nice sermon about interpersonal relationships and communications. And there is a message in here. There is a principle of interpersonal communication through here. But when you go off on a tangent like that, it just doesn't fit in the text. And Scripture is never given to us to just pull things out of and say, oh, this is what makes a nice sermon. Now, we can look at things like this, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, and make nice applications out of it. But I think our job as teachers of the Word and students of the Word is to try and figure out why it's put in there, where it's put in at. And maybe somebody here is a whole lot smarter than me and seeing that connection right away. What's the connection between going through temptations and falling in, being tempted and drawn away and falling into sin and then being doers of the word and not hearers only? Maybe somebody made that connection. Maybe a lot smarter people here than me. So, My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourself of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. Seems out of place. What's the connection? Well, to discover that, we're going to have to do just a little bit of digging, and I'm already forgetting to make my little things here so they stick out to you. We're going to have to do a little. Let's look at the first phrase at this verse. My dearly loved brothers. Now, there's something just a little bit missing here. I don't know what version you had as I read along. Some versions put in here, it says, so then, yeah, there it is, wherefore. Some versions put wherefore, some versions put so then, or some versions put so too. Some versions just seem to leave it out because it seems like, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means of that definition, but it seems like there's a little used and little misunderstood Greek word in there that has this idea, almost like if you look down in verse 21, it says therefore. It has almost the same idea, but not quite as strong. But it still means, or because of, or yeah, it's a connecting. It's a connecting word there. But it's a little bit different than therefore. And I don't know if some people or some versions leave it out because it's hard to deal with or not. Maybe it's not in some of the later manuscripts. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is, but some leave it out. But I think it's important that that connector word is in there, because what that connector word, without that connector word, we can look at this and we can then take these three verses out of context and apply it however we want to. So I think it's really important that we put the connector word in there and say, so then, my dearly loved brothers, understand this, because it connects us to what has happened before. So he's saying, wherefore, or because of. Because of what? Because of what I previously said. Because of what I talked to you about trials, and because I've talked to you about temptations, and because I've talked to you about all this stuff. He said, because of this, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters, listen up. Understand this. That's an active word. It's something that says, he's trying to grab our attention. He says, listen up. Because of this, I want you to listen up. What? He says, I want you to listen up, because everyone must, which is an active imperative in the English language. It's a command. He says, what? I want you to listen up because of what I've just said. I want you to listen up. Everyone must, or I command you to do what? Be quick to hear, or ready to hear, ready to listen, and ready to pay attention to. I want you to be quick to hear about whatever it is that he wants us to hear, and we'll get into that. And I want you to then to be slow to speak, or slow to respond. Slow to speak. And I don't mean to talk like Mountain Man. I want you to stop when somebody's talking to you and think about what's being said before I respond back. That's what this means, slow to speak. It means to be quiet, listen, and then after you've processed it all, then speak. And I want you to be slow to anger. And that really is just the word picture of putting a bit in a horse's mouth so you can control it. He says, I want you to control it. The Bible doesn't tell us not to be angry, right? It says, be angry and sin not. So it means to put a bridle in your mouth, put a bridle on your emotions, and control that anger. And again, like I said, this is where so many people, and I'm not better than anybody else, but it's so easy to get derailed, because it's the easy thing to do and make a sermon about, or a nice lesson about, interpersonal communications. The principle can be applied, but there is a whole lot deeper meaning. Just let's think about the principle a little bit. How many arguments would be avoided? How many relationships would not be destroyed? How many marriages would be saved if you take this little principle in this verse and apply it to your relationship? Be quick to hear. What about it, men, if we would be quick to hear or ready to listen when our wives speak and hear what they said? And women, you can take this too for when we men speak. But to keep your mouth shut, your ears open, and your heart open. How many arguments would be avoided if we would just stop and listen and be quiet? And then when they're done, be quiet some more. And then if she gives you a chance, respond back after you have had a chance to let it soak in what's been said. But what happens is they start speaking, and we're already starting to formulate. We think we know what they said, and we either turn them off or we start responding back before they're finished talking. And then they're like, no, and they start talking. We respond back, and all of a sudden you've got one of the things I've learned when I was up at Life Ministry years ago is that most of our conversations are not conversations, but not one single conversation, but our conversations are two separate individual conversations where this person's talking and this person, while this person's talking, the other one's over here formulating what they want to say, and you got two distinct conversations. If you don't believe me sometime, I tried this. Stop and listen either to somebody else talking, two other people having a conversation, or you when you're talking with somebody. Very few people have got it down to where they can turn off their mind, disengage their mouth, and listen to what other people have to say. Slow to speak. What has that got to do with slow to anger? Because when that happens, if we're not slow, quick to hear and slow to speak, it causes arguments, doesn't it? Does at our house. What happens when you talk and nobody listens? There's anger pretty quick. Why? Because anger is an emotion that comes from when we have needs or perceived needs that aren't met. We have a need to be heard. Everybody has a need to be heard. And when that need isn't met, it causes us to respond in anger because we feel wrong. And it clouds our thinking and it clouds our response. Example. The other night, I went to visit somebody, and unbeknownst to me, and I don't know why this happens to me, but I walked right into the middle of an argument between a man and his grown son. I mean, I got out of my vehicle and I heard him hollering. And so I'm like, what's going on here? And the son said, well, I went to talk to Dad, and right away he tells me what's wrong with me and how if I do this and how if I do that. And then the father, he starts hollering about, yep, if he would just do this, his life would be... And it's on and on. And after a while, after I got things calmed down, I sat on the porch and I'm like, you know, this was on my mind. I said to the father, I said, what would have happened if instead of responding to your son when he came to you, all he wanted to do was for you to hear what was going on in his life. But you didn't let him finish till you started telling him what's all wrong in his life. And he knew that already. He didn't need you to tell him that. And so it made him mad because Dad wasn't hearing what I was saying. And he was telling me things that I already knew. And so it caused a big outburst. So these verses have a good principle, a good lesson for us. It's a good principle to apply in our relationships. Not in just husband-wife, but husband or father-son, mother-daughter, any relationship. To be quick to hear, stop and hear, stop and listen, and then respond. And that diffuses anger really, really quick. But that example doesn't really apply to what's going on in the rest of the passage here, does it? So, let me show you what the connection is. The connection that I see. Maybe you see something different. Maybe other people see something different. I don't know. But this is what I see. And then we're going to look at the original meaning as I see it. Let's look back at verse 18. And I think I have that here on the PowerPoint. Yep. James 1:18, just up from verse 19, says, by his own will, talking about God, by his own choice, he gave us a new birth by the word. Some versions use message. That would be a correct translation too, but gave us a new birth. So he brought us forth, gave us new life by the word of truth. Now, the word in the Greek word for that is logos. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but you don't know if I know or not, or am or not. But it literally means the word of God. So he's saying by his own choice or by his own will, God gave us new birth by his word of truth. So what is that word? Well, first of all, let's look at the meaning of that. His word. It simply means his divine expression. It is the message from God delivered to us with his authority and made effective by his power. So that verse is saying that he gave us a new birth by his divine expression or the divine message from God himself delivered to us with his authority and made effective by his power. Now, let me look at some of the uses of the word logos in the Bible. Some of the uses. It was used in 1 John 1:1, referring to Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Same word. The second one is found in Hebrews 12:19, and it's simply God's message to us. And this is in the context of talking about the children of Israel when they were at the mountain, when God came down on the mountain and it was shaking and there was fire and trumpet blasts and all that. And this is what Hebrews 12:19 says about logos. He says, a trumpet sound or to a trumpet blast or to a voice speaking words, different word, words simply means sounds, what you're hearing from me now, that those who heard it begged that no further word or logos, or message from God be spoken to them. So, this word, or logos, can be translated Jesus himself, or simply a divine message from God. So, by his own choice, he gave us a new birth by the word, or the divine message given to us. And then verse 21 says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receiving the implanted word, there it is again, same word, divine message, which is able to save you. So there's where I believe the connection is between what we had before and what we're talking about today and what we're going to talk about the next time. It's simply this word. Logos, the Word of God, is a connection. It's God's message to us. So whatever we do with be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger has to do with the Word of God or the message of God. If we're going to be true to the message of the Scripture, it has to do with the Word. It somehow needs to connect or relate to logos as it's understood here, the divine expression of God or the divine message of God. So, let's dig a little bit. What does quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger have to do with the message of God? Quick to hear. Hear what? I believe, again, we need to go back to the preceding verses, talking about trials and temptations. verses 14 to 18, talks about being drawn away into sin, talking about our propensity to sin, propensity. What's another word for it? You figure it out. Propensity to sin, I think, is what it's talking about. And I'm convinced, people, that through trials and through temptations, that we have to be quick to hear, or we have to be ready to hear what God is trying to tell us through these trials and these temptations. The easy thing, or the quick thing to do is to put your defenses up and say, what's going on here? You know, just get me out of this situation that I'm in. But I believe God, if you study the rest of the scripture, God wants us to step back as we're going through trials and say, God, what are you trying to tell me through this? I think we need to pay attention to what God's message wants us. Sometimes he lets us go through things to get our attention, to try and make us stop. But we Americans don't like that, because we want to fix things. We want to go on. We want. But God says, be quick to hear. Be ready to hear his message. Meditate on what God is trying to say to us through that. Just let God's message speak to us. Now, verses 14 and 15, I think, it talks about us being deceived. So, if you're deceived, you don't know it, right? If you're deceived, you don't know it. So, sometimes God's message comes through Scripture. Reading the Scripture when you're going through trials, say, God, maybe take me back to the Scripture and show me some other people that are going through the same things. But when we're deceived, as it talks about in verses 14, 15, and 16, I think, we don't know it. So how's the message going to get to us? The message then comes through not only through the Bible, but it comes through others. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Sometimes that comes to us by reading and meditating on the Scripture as we're going through things. Sometimes God uses other people to bring the Scriptures to us when we're not willing to hear it. But God is telling us, whatever the method is, when you're going through trials, I want you to step back and hear what I'm trying to tell you through this. The message simply is, to us, is to stay ready at all times to receive God's word without a quick response, being slow to speak. I don't know why the word propensity always keeps coming back to me. There's another word for it, a more simple word. But our tendency is to quickly respond to what's going on and try to fix it. But God wants us to slow down and not respond so quickly. And I've been struck by Mother Teresa. Somebody asked her one time, when you pray to God, what do you say? And she says, nothing. She said, well, what do you do then? She says, I just listen. She said, well, listen to what? To who? She said, I just listen to God. And the person asked her said, well, what does God say? She says, nothing. He just listens. She had it right. She would step back and she would just say, God, what is going on? And in our noisy world, that is hard for us to fathom. To be able to just step back and let God speak to us. And what's harder than that is when other people come to us with the message of God, when that prophet comes to us and says, this is what I see in your life and this is why I see it. And we want to respond quickly back instead of saying, I hear you, let me think about that. God wants us to stay pliable. He wants us to stay humble. Because if we don't live our life with that attitude, when something comes up, we're going to be quick to respond, and we're going to miss the whole point that God has for us, the whole lesson that God has for us. And it produces then anger because we can't figure out what's going on. Just like it did in that father and son I talked about, it produced anger because the father wasn't hearing what the son had perceived needs that the father wasn't hearing. That happens the same way in our spiritual life. When we're going through stuff and we respond so quickly, we try and fix it and we make a bigger mess. Maybe you don't, but I make a bigger mess of it when I try and fix it instead of stepping back and say, God, what is going on? Don't we see a lot of that in Christianity today? You know, the attitude, don't tell me. We don't want people coming to us with the message of the Word of God and pointing things out in life. Don't tell me what to do. Don't judge me. What right do you have? Mind your own business. God would never, etc., etc., etc. And those types of attitudes then bring up anger and they break relationships. When it would have been so easy to say, I hear you. Let me stew on that. Let me listen to that for a while. Let me see if there's any truth to that. Because, you know, whenever something's said to you or about you, there's always just a little bit of truth, at least just a little bit of truth to it. And our job is to step back and say, well, what part of that is true? What is the message to us? And God says in verse 20, turned it off. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So God's saying, you know what? If you go through trials, you go through temptations, and you respond too quickly, and you get mad because things get all messed up, don't go the way you want to, and you get angry, he says, that anger, that unrighteous anger doesn't produce, I think some versions use produce, God's righteousness. Simply put, selfish anger, which is what man's anger is, selfish anger and God's righteousness cannot live in the same person. If God's message to you makes you angry, God cannot produce a righteous you. It's really, really that simple. Pretty strong. Well, you go back to the end of verse 18. God's righteous talks about God's righteousness. By his own choice, he gave us a new birth, or he has made us righteous by the word of truth. And this verse says God's anger doesn't accomplish God's righteousness. To me, the message of this verse, these verses are that if that is you, when God speaks to you, or when God brings people to you that points things out in your life, or brings the scripture to you, and you become angry, or you become angry because of the trials that you're going through, and that produces anger in you, God cannot extend that new birth to you. Because it says that man's anger does not accomplish his righteousness. I know those are pretty strong statements, and you might say, well, how do you know that's true, Elvin? Verse 21 then says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, the implanted message, which is able to save or to give you that new birth, back in verse 18. He says, therefore, because of this whole discussion and these couple verses about being slow to speak quick to hear and slow to anger. He says, because of that, rid yourself of all moral filth. It means to put away. Put it out of your mind. Put it away. It says, put it away. And we talked about the last time in verses 14 to 18 how sin starts and how it starts in the mind. And how that is the only way, that is the only entrance that the devil has into a person is through his mind. Simply put, I didn't say it last time, but I wanted to and I forgot. It says, simply put, the mind controls the body, okay? Your mind controls the body. Whoever controls the mind controls your body. So, what are you putting into, or what are you allowing into your mind? See, the things that you're putting or things that you're allowing into your mind, that's what's controlling your body. This verse says, put it away. Get rid of it. If it's the things of this world, well, guess who controls you? If that's what you're allowing into your mind, that's who controls you. If it's the Word of God you're putting in, guess who controls you? It's simply as simple as that. There is no, yeah, well, but. Whoever controls your mind controls your body. James' message is, listen up. Listen up and humbly receive the word. Humbly. It's hard to be humble, isn't it? Old country song just popped into my mind. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. I won't go that now. But it's hard. It's hard to humble oneself. It says, humble yourselves. Humbly receive the Word of God. It means that I have to consider someone or something greater than myself. That's what humbling yourself means. And I don't know about you, but, and this is a sad statement, but what I see in American Christianity, we're finding it harder and harder to even consider that God and His Word to be greater and more authoritative than we are. That's a terribly, terribly awful statement. But as I consider what's going on in American Christianity, it's hard for me not to believe that that statement is true. That we, as American Christians, consider ourselves greater than the Word of God. May God grant us the humility, as this verse says, to humbly accept this Word that's been implanted in us without any yeah but in this sense. No, just to humbly, that's what it means to humbly receive. God said it, I'm going to believe it. Easy concept, hard to put in practice. Would you stand for prayer, please? God in heaven, we thank you again for your word. God, and it's hard to accept it because your word says hard things. Because, especially hard for us living here in America with having rights and having laws that protect our rights. But God, to receive your word humbly and then to step back and listen to what it says without responding to it, without anger. God, would you teach us what it means to do that, to be quick to hear your word and then be quick or slow to respond and slow to anger, God. God, you've put those verses, that verse, right smack in dab in the middle of these other things, God. Would you help us make that connection despite the words that I've said, God, would you still use these verses to accomplish your will? Thank you for these people, Lord. Would you keep us and protect us, God? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You're dismissed.